You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic.
I'm Cameron Lalana.
And I'm Matt Karasimovich.
And today we're covering Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate, covering part 2, chapter 57, returning again to Duransky, who, well, everyone else is going through immense amounts of physical, emotional pain. Duransky is instead just waiting for orders. Although he's going through it in a certain sense, because as he's waiting for orders out of the steppe with nothing to do except look forward to his next meal, none of them are good meals. That's how little he's got going on. He's fighting lice. In fact, they all are, and that's all this whole battalion of Britain Army soldiers is doing, fighting lice, keeping up a good fight.
Yeah, I think this was an interesting one, because with his character, he kind of pops up sort of here and there. He's not really a main or central character by any means, but the last time we saw him, I think it was, or at least one of the previous times, I mean, he was very flirtatious and kind of charismatic, and this chapter is him being reduced to just a common soldier fighting lice. And I think he has somewhat of a realization of this, talking about how he kind of looked down on people who used to have these trivial, as he would consider them, concerns, but having gone through what he's going through, which is just the monotony of waiting around and maintaining a regiment and yourself during wartime, that he has suddenly found himself very concerned with these things that he used to think were trivial, petty, and all of these things. And he can't help it. I mean, he's starving, so he's looking forward to the meals, but the meals are disgusting, so he wants to get out of there as soon as possible. And then when he goes to sleep, he can't sleep because he's itching, and it's just a kind of a sensory overload chapter, I thought.
Yeah, right. It reminds me, as I wrote in the post this morning, that it's sort of a truism, maybe bordering cliche, about war, that it's boredom punctuated by moments of terror. And if you ever talk to someone who's fought in a war, served in the military, you read Tolstoy, for example, you know that there's a great amount of being out in the middle of nowhere and doing a lot of nothing. And Grossman reminds us that amid all the sort of heroics of all the other soldiery, right? I mean, even I think up to this point, outside of like soldiers mobilizing and going somewhere, a lot of the soldiers had nothing to do. Are like Krimov is the closest we have, where his nothing to do was really just wandering around and kind of preaching to people. Now these soldiers have truly been lost in the bureaucratic mess. Is someone aware of them? Probably. In the back of their mind, they're probably thinking of them, and they're waiting until there's a good moment to deploy them. And until then, they're sitting here in the middle of nowhere fighting lice, you know, some number of many, many, many people, soldiers, support staff, whoever, engaging in the decidedly unheroic activity of fighting lice infestation. And who knows how many, many thousands of people spent so many, many, many similar thousands of man hours doing just the same thing.
Yeah. And I think that this is just the idea that you can't not spend your time focused on those things. He or the narrator, I guess, at the end of the chapter, he's talking about how he, as I said previously, was just constantly thinking about women, but now he doesn't think about them at all. He can't think about them at all. And the narrator says he remembered a saying the criminals had used in the camps: "You may live, but you won't love." And that is where the chapter ends. And I just thought it was this is a very interesting way to describe his monotonous daily life as very similar to being in camps. And that was, I think, a little provocative twist at the end of the chapter by Grossman.
Being a soldier on deployment is kind of like being in the gulag, if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, it's complicated, but yeah.
It is. But like the feelings that can be evoked, and maybe more similarly, the commonality is in their temporary status of having nothing to do, in which life becomes such a bore, compared to the gulag, where that's a semi-permanent to certainly permanent status of having nothing ever to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
lots to be done, but nothing to do. I don't know if that makes sense, but
no, that's true. I think with the soldiers, it's kind of You're either waiting around doing nothing, hating your life, or you are fighting and hating your life. The only ones that are enjoying anything are probably the very young men that are really hoping that they're going to see their first combat action and then are immediately disenchanted by the reality and the horror of warfare.
Yeah, it's Seryozha. Is that that's the intersection here.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe this is a good place to leave it then. Certainly will not be the last we hear of good old Berensky.
Probably not. Probably not. But that sounds good to me.
Right.
In that case, you will hear from us again soon.